previously on Christmas Creeps.
You chose this movie.
I did.
I was expecting multiple Chronicles, but I was treated to only one Chronicle. Next year, they're going to release Christmas Chronicles X. It's going to have better combat for the first half and have a great overworld, but then the combat's just going to be terrible. And then they're going to release Christmas Chronicles 2, which just everybody hates the main characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Happy Christmas.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 332 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. Since 2015, we've been bringing you fine people this lovely, ridiculous podcast of ours. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I will be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Johnny Five, the Human Robot.
Hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
Oh, I was better before I watched this movie.
Weren't we all? And Mr. Bradford is here as well. Brad?
Hello.
How are you, Brad?
Hello there.
I'm doing good. I'm ready to talk about a movie with my good friends.
I'm ready to talk about a movie with my good friends, Mr. Bradford and Obi-Wan Kenobi over here.
Is there something you're not telling us?
We're watching Attack of the Clones.
Jonathan made a Revenge of the Sith reference and then said we're watching Attack of the Clones.
They're all literally the same movie. Prove me wrong.
I can't. That's the problem. I literally cannot. So friends, welcome to late January, where we typically talk about the latest and greatest Netflix hotness. But this time, this go round.
This time I'm very sorry, and it's not the case. No, we are discussing a Netflix release.
The latest, yes. Greatest, no.
Yeah.
We are watching the sequel to the Christmas Chronicles, 2020's Christmas Chronicles Part 2.
Woof.
And woof is probably the best descriptor, because good lord.
It's everything.
And it's not because it's a buddies movie.
It's everything that I didn't like about Christmas Chronicles. They were like, what if that was the whole movie?
Bam. There's your review, because that's exactly what I was going to say. Good night, everybody. Happy Christmas.
No, but we have to do our due diligence, because this is our show, and we have an obligation to you people to explain to you.
I mean, we could just say this is like an any percent speedrun episode.
Podcast done quick. Yeah, I can get with that. Yeah.
Fuck it. 4-2. Bye, everybody.
John's being generous with that that y-axis score. But no, yeah, it's Christmas Chronicles 2 time, so, you know, crack one open. And let's get rocket and rolling. So, gentle friends, where to start? What do we do? What are we doing here?
All right, so this is Christmas Chronicles 2. Chris Columbus called up Mr. Netflix and said, hey, he says, do I have a Santa Claus movie for you? This is a Santa, but he fucks. And Christmas Chronicles was born. And we watched it 2 years ago now. It came out in December of 2018, and we thought it was all right.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. It was all right.
It was good. And then I seem to recall we really liked the first half of it, and then the second half turned into a boring, generic family Christmas movie, which is the movie we expected, but first half wasn't bad. There's a Santa, and he's, like, kind of cool. He's cooler than your average Santa, and he's back this time, but guess what? They forgot to put all the cool stuff in and him being cool, and it's just a family Christmas movie.
Yeah, so I guess the best thing to do is let's go back through the first one real quick and just pinpoint all of the things that we didn't like about it.
God, I wish we had a whiteboard that we and we were all sitting in a room together and we could just write all of the good things, all the bad things about this Santa or this movie.
The movie. The pros and cons of the movie. I mean, right. con number one, the kids are kind of insufferable, right?
Yes. And the elves are kind of insufferable.
Yes. And the save Christmas spirit plot is kind of insufferable.
Yes.
And what else? Is there anything else we didn't like about the first one?
I mean, there was a dead dad alert, but guess what? To complete the pair, we have a dead mom alert in this one because... because life is beyond satire at this point.
Oh, and yeah. We're through the looking glass here.
How many movies have we done with dead moms? Like,
I think it's like half our catalog at this point. Like, I'm going to go to our website, christmascreeps.com, because I actually do tag every episode with the different relative information, and Dead Mom is definitely one of them.
Yeah, should we watch that one movie next, Dead Mom's Christmas?
Dead Mom's Christmas.
Yeah, why not?
No, it feels like at this point it's such a tired horse that has been beaten to death with Christmas movies that you would think writers would get the memo to not put dead moms or dead parents in their Christmas movies anymore. And yet, they keep doing it.
Yeah, the only Christmas movie that needs to have dead parents in it is Batman Returns.
Amen to that.
Amen to that, yes. Unless it's like the foundational like part of your main character's story, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this?
It is usually incidental at best.
And look,
to give you a couple extra maudlin points.
Fair being fair, it worked pretty okay in the first one. It was fine. I was okay with it.
Acceptable. It's, because it also flipped the script that it was a dead dad, which is not as common.
That's true. That's true.
But now we got both.
So at this one, the dead dad is still very much in play. But now we've added a dead mom of a completely different character.
Right.
Yes.
I derail the train for a second here. Netflix did the Full House like reboot or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't the dead dad in that a firefighter as well?
There's a dead dad in Full House?
No, the Fuller House sequel series.
There's a dead dad in Fuller House?
Yeah,
did they kill off Bob Saget's character or something?
DJ's husband.
I think you're right. I think the reason that DJ moves back into the house is because her husband is dead.
Weird.
I'm just like, Netflix discovered that dead firefighters are cool, like a cool tragedy, I guess.
God.
Recently widowed DJ Tanner Fuller is a veterinarian and the mother of three young boys. After the unexpected death of her husband, Tommy, who was following his hazardous duties as a firefighter, DJ moves back into her childhood home with her father, Danny.
You got it, dude.
And this is the part where I suddenly discover that Fuller is not a pun. It's actually the name of the family.
There is one good
joke. Are you
joke
fucking kidding me? Stop.
There is one good joke in that entire like reboot series, whatever you want to call it, or sequel series. And it's that Stephanie became a successful musician under the name DJ Tanner. The only good joke they have.
That's okay. That's okay. That's fine.
And you know, I was about to say that's a pretty funny Roseanne reference, but I forgot that the Roseanne was last name is Connor and not Tanner.
I'm still angry about the fact that Fuller House, it hurts so much to live on this earth sometimes.
The wacky sitcoms just, they make the world move, man. That's what people live for.
I think the worst one like that, it's not even a real one, and Married with Children, there was one where Kelly was getting a job on a sitcom called Peas in a Pod that was about the Peas family.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
That's not bad.
Fuller House comes along and just unironically does that. They're just like, no, that's seriously what we're doing.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And I hate you for telling me that. And I hate the fact that I have to carry that fact around in my brain until my brain turns to mush and I return to dust.
See you in hell.
On this dumb, dumb earth.
It's like, it would be like if the X-Files were named after the guy whose files they were.
Jonathan X.
Yeah. Okay.
God.
So let's,
okay.
Backing up for just a moment.
Backing way up.
To the dead parent alert. So we've got the dead dad who's still in play from Kate and what's his name? Teddy. Now we have a new character involved, because I guess this is like the Narnia series and how one character ages out and a new character ages in. And
God,
Kate,
God, you're right. We're never escaping this series.
The kid's name is Jack, and he is the son of Tyrese, who is now dating Kate and Teddy's mom.
Well, his name is Bob in the movie.
Well, his fucking name is Tyrese, so I'm going to go with it.
Okay, fine.
It's Tyrese playing a character. It's not Tyrese playing himself. That would be an interesting movie.
No, if he was literally playing Roman Pierce from Fast and the Furious, that would be amazing.
No, I was like, oh, yeah, mom's dating Tyrese. Remember him?
Mom's dating MTV's Tyrese, yeah.
See, that'd be better. You're right. See, and, you already Santa workshop.
Yeah.
Santa's workshop to this.
So he take Tyrese... Bob takes the family down to Cancun for Christmas, which Kate hates because Cancun's not Christmassy. Where have we heard this before?
I have never felt less sorry for a main character than Kate upset that she's in Cancun for Christmas.
But no, this is like, once again, we're in Chris Columbus territory, because this is directly a reference to Home Alone 2, where Kevin didn't want to go to Miami for Christmas because there's no Christmas trees in Miami. So we're doing that again.
Everything old is new again. Tie-dye, Nazis.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2, back again.
Now featuring Hatsune Miku.
That's the best edit I've ever seen.
Excuse me, where is the lobby? Doop, 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 doop. It's very good. We'll put it in the show notes.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, but Kate's pissed off about all this. Teddy decides to go hang out with a hot chick because he's a teenager in Cancun. And he exits the movie. Thank God, Teddy sucks.
Teddy's like, bye, everybody. I'm going to go fuck.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, basically, spring break, motherfuckers. And so this new character, Jack, and Kate... Well, okay.
I mean, to be clear, Teddy totally fucks in this movie, right?
I mean,
yeah.
He doesn't not, you know?
Schrodinger's fuck.
Oh, God,
because it's
Brad.
A family movie.
Brad.
And Mom and Tyrese fuck.
Oh.
Absolutely.
100%.
They fuck on a ziggurat.
That's right, because they go on a day trip to, like, the ancient Mayan
they go
ruins.
On a day trip, my ass. They go on an overnight trip to the Mayan
night
ruins.
Trip.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so somebody explain the setup for this, because I literally cannot.
Okay.
Well, there's a guy named Beelzebub.
Belshinkle.
That's not it either. Bob Geldof.
Oh.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Heineken? What? His name is Belsnickel, which I realize is an actual, like, Christmas character. In, like, the grand folklore universe of Christmas things.
Like the Christmas cinematic universe?
Yeah. He is a nefarious Christmas elf, and most people remember him when Dwight played him on The Office that one time.
Oh, yeah. That's the one place I've heard that name of before.
But he's played by the fat kid from Deadpool 2. Julian Dennison is his name, but I can never, ever see this kid in anything and not think of Ricky Baker. It's a character from Hunt for the Wilder People. For the rest of this episode, I'm going to be calling him Ricky Baker, and please just go with it.
That is who he reminded me of. Thank you.
Because it's him.
He reminded you of himself?
Oh, that's the same actor?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's been how long since... Because he was a little kid in Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He was a little kid in that movie, and it was cute when you used to see a little pudgy kid running around the forest and swearing a lot.
Yeah.
But now he's a pudgy adult running around Christmas and swearing a lot, and it's not as fun.
Well, he's not swearing a lot.
Well, he's not.
This is a family show.
This is a movie for babies.
This is a movie for babies, so he doesn't swear so much, but you know he wants to, and he totally would if he was allowed to.
You know that under his breath, he's doing all the swears. Mm.
Sorry, what? No. Okay, so his plan is he wants to get into the North Pole and destroy Santa's village so that he can create his own village at the South Pole using the Star of Bethlehem to make himself young again, even though he's technically still, like, 18, right?
Well, to be clear, the movie takes its fucking sweet time getting to this point. Like, you see him breaking in and doing all of this shit before he bothers to explain why he's doing any of this. It takes halfway through the damn movie till we know what the damn movie's about.
Right.
Because he abducts what's-her-face, Kate, from Cancun, and Jack is along for the ride, sends them through a wormhole to an ice shelf on the North Pole to have Santa take them back. It's all very convoluted, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We'll save you the trouble.
I mean,
yeah, it takes, 30 minutes before they even reveal his master plan? 45 minutes, maybe, even?
And it's not much of a master plan, to be honest. It just kind of happens.
He's stealing the Christmas magic.
The spirit of Christmas is once again in jeopardy.
And also, it's a big crystal.
It's...
It's a big crystal,
Oh, no.
It's not a... I thought a long and hard about this. It's not a J.O. crystal.
Anything is a J.O. like crystal if you want it to be.
I guess, but it's like a multi-pronged J.O. crystal. It looks more like a star bit.
Listen, we don't know where the power and energy from this star comes from. It could be some cosmic J.O. crystal for all we know.
Oh, my God. You've just expanded my mind. You may be right.
I mean, yeah, this could be like the Infinity J.O. crystal. We honestly don't know.
Okay. So, Bells, we find out through an exposition dump a little bit earlier in the movie that Belshinkel was one of the elves that Santa rescued as he did a Moses and took all the elves to the North Pole because they were being hunted to extinction. I'm not making any of this up.
No.
So, the kids go to the North Pole. They get a grand tour. We see a bunch of elves doing the worst shit imaginable. Just, I, like, am clawing my eyes out so I can roll them across the floor.
Santa and the elves give the kids a tour of the village, and he shows them, like, the hut where they make all the Lego toys. And then the hut, like the infinite cavernous hut where they program video games.
And so if you haven't watched either of these movies and didn't listen to our episode on the first movie, imagine Minions, but furry and speaking a made up language that somebody from Game of Thrones made up.
Yes.
Or somebody who worked on Game of Thrones made up. So there you have it.
And now,
we're all so over this movie.
We haven't even started is the problem.
Okay, so yeah, they go to the North Pole. Mrs. Claus reads them a story about Belshinkel, how he was an elf who got mad jelly that... Hang on. All right, I'm hanging on. What am I hanging on to?
You just touched on a thing that I want to talk about, because Brad's complaint last time around was that there was only one Chronicle. And this film seems to have listened to him directly and said, okay, fine, we'll give you at least three Chronicles.
There are 27 Chronicles. Last one was volume 27.
Well, we caught a glimpse of three Chronicles in this.
The two that she reads to the children, and presumably the one that's currently happening in front of our faces.
Right, exactly. We get his origin story, we get the fall of Belshinkel, and we get what's going on in this movie present day.
Yes.
Do you think that, dear listeners, there's time travel in this movie? My question to you two gentlemen, does the segment where they traveled back in time constitute its own chronicle, or is it part of the same modern day chronicle?
Fuck you.
I'm going to say, as soon as Santa gets back from that adventure, he strikes it from the record. I don't think he's going to let that be a chronicle, because that would break the fabric of reality.
Chronicle 28, yeah. The time Santa really fucked up.
The time I introduced a girl to her own dad. Whoops, spoiler alert.
And introduced her to her own dad in a scene that IMDb trivia says was supposed to make you think of the scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off with Jennifer Grey meets Charlie Sheen and they make out.
No, what? No.
IMDb trivia claims that entire scene was supposed to be a big reference to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's like, that scene ended with them kissing.
You know,
the scene at the airport with her own dad.
Yes. Well,
okay, so we're jumping way ahead. Santa and Kate get shoved back into 1990, and they have to, like...
We're still jumping way ahead, so...
I know, but I'm trying to set the thing up.
Okay.
It's way earlier than 1990, I thought.
No, it's 1990, because that's the year Home Alone takes place.
Oh, God. Okay.
Kate has to find AAA batteries for the time travel doohickey that doesn't work anymore.
Hey, Brad, how old are you?
I'm 33.
I'm going to break Brad's brain. Like, no, yeah, for Kate's dad was like 10 in 1990 for this timeline to work.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
I think that's Brad's problem. Okay. Brad's problem, because time has like completely lost meaning since about 2001. So, like.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. Yeah, I see it. I get it. Oh, my goodness. Continue. I'm just gonna I'm just gonna marinate in that for a minute.
Okay. Well, so Kate's job at the airport is to find AAA batteries. So she goes to the Hudson News or whatever they have to buy them, but she doesn't have 1990 money, so they think she's stealing them. And that's like a scene out of Home Alone as well. And so they put her in airport jail, where there's another kid in airport jail. It's her dad, and that's
and he
the
says
scene.
Drugs.
Yeah, and that's the scene that's just like the Charlie Sheen scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. When you said Ferris Bueller earlier, I thought you were referencing the song and dance number that is happening directly outside of this other scene.
Yeah, no. That's what they said. They're like, oh, no, the song and dance and then them meeting in kid jail, that's fully a Ferris Bueller reference. Like, no, it's not. Not everything is a reference to everything else.
because... Jennifer Grey was not in jail, like directly across the street from Ferris Bueller doing a dance number. Like, that's not the same. You can't just put two random scenes from a movie together and say, "Oh, that's these together are a reference to that movie." It doesn't work like that.
This commentary is a hot mess because this movie is just a hot mess.
Man, all right, I honestly wish we had just decided to do a commentary for this movie because that would maybe make more sense.
A little bit.
Okay, so Belsnickel's entire plan is he's going to steal the Star of Bethlehem, which the other Jamin has never referenced at all. The Star of Bethlehem is the closest they'll ever get, just saying that it exists, which apparently the elves in Turkey gave Santa back in, like,
300.
Yeah, 300.
300.
All right, so Belsnickel's entire big plan is the Star of Bethlehem, which Santa was given by the elves in Turkey in 300, because, yeah, that happened as well. Like, why not have more flashbacks in this fucking movie?
Sure.
He's going to steal that so he can make his own Christmas with blackjack and hookers. And
yeah,
basically, and because he hates humans, I guess.
Yeah, he's mad that Santa likes humans, I guess, is part of it. And he was such a shitty elf that he turned into a human.
He literally says, you care more about every child on Earth than you care about me.
What about me, Bender?
Yeah, exactly. And so because he's such a piece of shit, this mean evil elf is cursed to be a human for the rest of existence. Oh no! How terrible for him. And so he wants back in by creating his own. Okay, so the movie does this thing where the Star of Bethlehem hooks up to the Aurora Borealis to create like a time vortex around the North Pole. And
it's like also a shield.
Yeah, it's also a time shield because nobody ages inside the veil of Borealis, as they call it. And it's at this point that my ears start bleeding because I can't take it anymore. Like, okay, we're jumping back to the very beginning again, where the first movie did not do this much world building. I feel like, and
the first movie was Santa. He has Santa magic, and he's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And
that's why it worked.
This is like the Matrix Reloaded, how it starts off and it fucking explains how Zion works. It's like, I don't care about this, you guys. I do
just
not.
Show me a gunfight. Come on.
Yeah, Santa, just shoot somebody already.
This movie's biggest sin is Kurt Russell Santa never bothers to spend any time being cool.
No.
Absolutely, that's the main problem with this movie. Yes.
And actually, the movie spends more time watching him, like, wish he had been a better dad or something like that. Because you keep catching glimpses of him, like watching the misses with the two kids and just, like, having those dad feelings, you know? And I feel like the movie was almost about him wanting kids again. But they didn't go there.
I thought they were, I seriously thought they were going to do like an infertility subplot.
Oh.
When she's like playing with the kids. But I guess it was supposed to be them spending time with Belle. Like, that's where they ended up twisting it, is like,
it didn't,
Belle Schnickel's kind of their kid a little bit.
It didn't
or
quite
like they,
come off that way, though. I mean, wait. I guess you can kind of shoehorn it in to be about that, but it just, I guess that didn't play that way to me.
Yeah, the last scene was Mrs. Claus holding Belle Schnickel like a baby.
Yeah.
Yes. A horrifying CGI baby.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's very bad. Because it's the only elf that they bother to, like, try to match an actor's face to.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, it, like, there's scenes where he's with, like, the other elves, and it just looks so wrong.
Like, none of
even though the elves already look wrong, he looks even more, well, even more wrong,
like,
somehow.
None of the other elves look like anybody else, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, for this one to specifically look like this character, this actor, it's just, it's like that uncanny valley effect. Like, I know it's supposed to be him, but I don't want it to be. I hate
no,
it.
No, it's not at all.
It's very bad. It's
all right. So So Ricky Baker just like literally breaks the Star of Bethlehem.
Yes, he and
breaks.
Santa have a tug of war over it using like Christmas magic and also Iron Man technology.
It's a Half-Life 2 gravity gun.
Yes, there we go.
And
pick
they
up the star.
They break the Star of Bethlehem. The star from the movie The Star? Yeah, they break that. It's broken now.
The star from Puppy Star?
Yeah, no. So the final stretch of the movie is Santa and Kate having to... they just make a new Christmas star.
Yeah, Santa's like, oh no, the Christmas star broke. I'll go get another one. I'll go back to the store.
Let's literally go to the store and get another one. In the meantime, Ricky Baker has set loose the elves like they're gremlins, destroying the North Pole.
And you want to know the worst fucking joke of this movie?
Tell me.
There is a movie theater in the Santa Village. When they're good elves, yeah, it says elf. When they're bad elves, it says bad Santa.
It sure does. I noticed that as well.
I'm about to sigh really loudly.
That's like a wiffle ball tee up kind of joke. So once again, we've got elves traipsing around this film like they're gremlins, but this time they're actually evil little monsters. And so Jack, who's left behind at the North Pole with Mrs. Claus, has to defend himself with a Nerf gun, because this is a children's movie, and you can't kill anybody. So he gets a Nerf gun to just bonk him on the head.
Well, we had a secondary MacGuffin where he has to go get a flower to help heal the reindeer that has been mauled by the Yule Cat, which we haven't even mentioned the Yule Cat,
because of course not. Brad, tell us about the Yule Cat.
There's a cat. It's like a saber-toothed tiger, and it hangs out near the North Pole. And I guess it likes to eat reindeer. I don't know. He's hunting it at the beginning. Then he stops hunting it, and apparently it's in cahoots with Belle Schnickel. But Joe actually hit us with some real facts. Apparently the Yule Cat is a real thing. This is a deep dive into Christmas lore.
So the Yule Cat... Okay, so I'm reading this off Wikipedia, the world's depository of correct information. So the Yule Cat, the threat of being eaten by the Yule Cat was used by farmers as an incentive for their workers to finish processing aluminum wool before Christmas. And so the only ones who took part in the work would be rewarded with new clothes. So the thing is, like, the Yule Cat would eat people who didn't get new clothes for Christmas. So you'd better hope that the people in your family love you and give you socks for Christmas. Otherwise, the Yule Cat will eat you.
I'm going to go take Santa's time machine and a guillotine and go meet this fucking farmer.
I mean,
threat of starvation wasn't even enough.
Like, I appreciate that they included elements like, you know, Belle Schnickel and the Yule Cat in the story, but it kind of feels like they're including like C-tier Marvel villains that nobody else but nerds have ever heard of.
This movie is basically Santa Claus 3.
It kind of is, yeah.
It skipped straight over 2 and went straight to 3,
yeah,
along with the quality, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. up to and including the sort of the will they, won't they parenting storyline. Yeah, kind of, sort of, yeah. So, Santa and Kate are trapped in the 90s, right?
Yeah, but the Belstickle follows them to Turkey. They get in a big fight. Belstickle throws a time machine on their sleigh, which zaps them to Logan International Airport in 1990.
And because it's snowing and all the flights have been canceled, everybody in the airport is pissed off, which means Christmas spirit is at an all-time low, so the reindeer can't take off and fly away. So we're doing that again. That? With a
musical number.
Big old song and dance number. And who but Darlene Love would show up in this movie to sing a song with Santa Claus?
So, for the uninitiated, the first movie had a really good and funny musical number in a jail cell, and they were trying to recapture that magic, that lightning in a bottle with this, and it did not work.
Not a single bit.
I mean, Darlene Love tries, but I mean,
she can only do some. Oh, she's only one woman. She can only do so much.
Yeah, exactly.
She can only polish that turd so much.
I mean, she's basically singing backup for Kurt Russell, which right away is like, that's the first mistake. Like, just give her the song. Let her do it. We don't need Kurt Russell to do anything but dance. Just let him dance. But yeah, so they save the day with a rockin' musical number that's actually not that rockin' and not that great. It's just kind of a song. Also, the fact that they keep cutting away from it kind of disguises how not great it already is. But they keep cutting away from it so that Kate can have this weird little scene, like jailbreak scene with her dad, who she only discovers at the end of the scene is actually her dad. It's okay. Like, why did we need to do this? Why did she need to meet her dad? I don't know.
Why anything?
All right.
Why all the pearls, Marge? Why anything?
This movie. So they get the AAA batteries that they need to go back to the present.
Yes.
And while they're in the past, Kate's dad, as a 10-year-old, helps her break out of child jail. And says the family catchphrase to them, the family motto. They say the house words. He says, "Ours is the fury."
And they make off into the night, because I can't make another Game of Thrones reference. That was too good. The night is dark and full of Santas. There, I did it. But they make it back to the present with the replacement Christmas star. And, like, Kate parachutes in to replace it. There's a fucking, I don't know. They save the day. It's not important now.
They end of Back to the Future 1. They're like, oh, no, we'll just go back to 15 seconds earlier and steal it back again.
Yep.
Yeah. If Back to the Future had played by Bill and Ted rules, yes.
Yeah.
Belstickle has drones, and he uses them to try to stop them, and it goes about as how you would expect for a children's movie.
He uses a drone that shoots fireballs at this little girl.
Yeah, he shoots fireballs at a little girl, but nobody is harmed in the process, and there's a mild amount of tension.
Yeah,
and then the tension is resolved, and the day is saved.
They talk it out, they hug it out, he turns back to normal, and everybody is happy. And then there's still 30 minutes left in this movie.
Lord.
Yes. And yes, there is.
I had a nervous breakdown.
Luckily, the credits were about half of that 30 minutes left.
That's true. There's a lot of special effects. This is a big effects heavy movie, so there, of course, there's a lot of credits. But man, when I paused the movie for that one instance, like, okay, the day is saved, everybody gets back to normal. What else could we possibly do with the rest of this movie? Santa takes them back to Cancun, and they meet up back with their family, and Kate reconciles with Tyrese, and then they all sing "Oh Christmas Tree" to the ocean. The end?
As one does.
Question mark?
As one does.
Yeah. Or, I mean, the last scene, it's like, they sing "Oh Christmas Tree" to the ocean, because that's, like, her dad's favorite Christmas song, so, like, it's their way of reconciling with Tyrese, letting him basically be a part of the family. And as they're singing it, Then we cut to the North Pole where Santa and Mrs. Claus, who we never actually mentioned, is played by Goldie Hawn. But Santa and the Mrs. and Belschnickel and all of the other elves sing O Christmas Tree at their actual Christmas tree. And then the last thing we see is Kate and her family staring at a giant Merry Christmas from Santa Claus, like painted in the sky. And Tyrese is like, oh, man, that's so cool. What the hell is this? He has no idea what kind of family he's about to marry into.
Tyrese is Judge Reinhold in this situation.
He basically is. He's Neil, 100%. But he his character at least strikes me as somebody who could be a quote-unquote true believer.
Yeah, that's another big thing this movie is tries to make a thing, huh?
Well, I mean, this movie doesn't lean on it the way the first one did.
So, yeah, he could be a true believer.
I mean, he could be.
It's a free country.
If they make a third one, I hope he's in it. B, I hope he's a big part of it.
They should Narnia this shit. The third one is just Jack and Bob.
It's just Jack and Bob. I mean, it's basically Fast and Furious, 9? Because, you know, Roman and Mr. Nobody, hey, we've got two of them right there. By the way, Kurt Russell's in Fast and Furious, you guys. I'm sitting over here just dreaming of like a Fast and Furious Christmas Chronicles crossover.
Hobbs and Shaw and Santa?
I was going to ask you guys to come up with a Christmas Chronicles 3 part 3 that improves upon this. Not hard, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you already just nailed it.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, that's the direction it needs to go.
Go the Fast and Furious route. Every movie is now just a heist.
I mean, they kind of stole a car in the first one. They stole a stolen car in the first one.
Yeah.
So make that the movie, and then Santa gets to be cool again.
Like, they have to do, like car stunts, but with reindeer? That would be cool, right?
Something like that. Or they have to steal something back.
I mean,
like, imagine how much better this movie would be if it was a heist movie.
Gone in 60 Santas?
Yeah. If Santa and Kate and everybody else had to team up for one last job and steal the star back, and we start in media res and the star has already been stolen. Like, as soon as Kate gets to the North Pole, it's already been stolen. How much better would this movie be?
Okay, I've got the third film. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Ready.
So Bob is now a member of the family, and he's on the Pierce family, family tree in Santa's little notebook. So they take Bob to the North Pole to show him all of Santa's fun, cool toys and stuff, and he loves it. Santa shows Bob his bitchin' rad hot rod. And then the villain shows up to steal the hot rod because it's the coolest car in the universe. And the villain, it's Krampus. So it's Bob and Santa versus Krampus. And Krampus, he's got Santa's new hot rod, and he can go faster than anything. How do we catch Krampus? I don't know yet.
Who plays Krampus? Can it be Guy Fieri?
I'm okay with that.
Bob Odenkirk?
I was going to say William Fichtner, but that might be too deep of a cut.
David Cross, not even in a costume, just David Cross?
It's just David Cross.
I mean, you already... it's already miles better than anything this is going to be. So stop breaking my heart, because the next movie is going to be even worse than this one, because that's the way this world works.
Let's rope in the WWE. Krampus is played by The Undertaker. Boy, that landed with a thud. Okay, never mind.
I think you maybe are the only one. I don't know wrestling things.
I know Jonathan knows. He's just not playing along.
I'm trying to decide, like, is that too on the nose? Like, is that...
It's a Netflix Christmas movie. Nothing is too on the nose.
That's true.
Subtext is dead.
Yeah. Christmas Chronicles 3. Subtext is dead.
Except you know what's going to happen, though. They're going to have Rowan Reigns play Krampus.
Probably.
You know what's going to happen. What if the thing they're going like to make a worse? Third one. It's going to be like this one, but it's going to be even worse somehow. And they're going to have more elves and less Santa, and an even more convoluted plot. And that's how it's going to go. You heard it here first. I'm calling the shot. I think Christmas Chronicles 3 is going to be worse than Christmas Chronicles Part 2. Not a very hot take, but it is what it is.
Okay. To reference another Chris Columbus movie, what if Santa and the Misses get divorced? And Santa really misses the elves, so he concocts a really stupid scheme to become Mrs. Claus's live-in maid. But Santa has to dress like an old lady so that he can spend quality time with the elves. And just make it Christmas Mrs. Doubtfire.
Christmas is Doubtfire.
I just want to see Kurt Russell with the giant Santa beard doing the Robin Williams shtick, mostly. I don't know, guys. I'm trying to have fun here, and it's not happening.
Fuck this movie. Fuck this movie.
This movie is sucking the fun out of the railway.
I had one actual laugh in the movie, and it was at a joke. And I feel a little ashamed of that, but I think it was a pretty good joke.
Okay, what's...
Lay it on us.
The part where Jack looks right at the camera.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, Mrs. Claus sends him to, like, the top of a mountain to get, like, a rare flower, and he's like, what if I get frostbite? And she says something like, don't worry, I'm very good at reattaching fingers and toes. And he, like, gives a shock, like, spit take right into the camera. It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. It's out of nowhere. It doesn't happen again. It is perfect.
But, yeah, so the long and short of it is Christmas Chronicles 2, like Brad said, took everything we already didn't like about the first one and amplified it and made it all worse. Thanks, yep. Chris Columbus. I hate it. So, hey.
If you look at the IMDb, every single thing in the trivia is just like, this is a reference to another Chris Columbus movie. I was like, I hope you're grasping at straws, because every one of these things being an actual intentional thing would piss me off.
Right. And also, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, not a Chris Columbus movie.
Not at all, no.
But it's an 80s thing, and he made movies in the 80s, so you know what? It's all the same. But I think that's a good point to stop. So let's go to the crankometer, which is our patented X-Y-axis for rating Christmas movies. The X-axis is our our Christmas quotient, excuse me, and the Y-axis is our quality quotient. So, gentle friends, how Christmassy is The Christmas Chronicles 2?
It's all right. It could have happened in June.
Yeah, could have happened in June.
Yeah, it really could have happened at any time. Like, they could have gone to a tropical vacation any time of the year, and it would have been exactly the same.
And Belschnickel could have decided to steal the star any time of the year.
Because honestly, you know, who's paying attention to the Star of Bethlehem in the middle of April? Nobody.
Yeah, it's the perfect crime. Yeah. I guess the only part that relies on it being Christmas is the airport scene, but he could have easily sent them back in time.
Yeah, that's
a couple of, you know, 30 years and also 4 months.
Yeah, that's pure time travel nonsense. So whatever.
Doesn't count. No, but in all seriousness, doesn't give me like a strong... It doesn't even work with like the feelings of Christmas.
No.
Or the trappings of Christmas. Maybe I'm just dead inside, but there are other movies that do that, including movies I haven't seen before.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's like, seen this movie because it's just like, oh no, we're not going to have a Christmas. That's all it is.
All the Christmassy stuff is all self-contained in the North Pole, which, you know, it's like that in July.
Yeah, so it's 24/7.
Who cares?
And also, like, the family angle, like, the whole point of the movie is that, like, Kate hates being with... she doesn't want to have a stepdad. She misses her dad, which is fine. But like, there's nothing about that is inherently Christmassy. Nothing about her leaving her family feels particularly Christmassy.
She could have decided to run away back home.
I think she did.
Yeah.
You know? So
any time of the year,
it's like almost the antithesis of like sort of your typical Christmas family message. So, I mean, I guess just because there's Santa Claus in it, and they actually give a fairly okay origin story for, like, St. Nicholas?
Yeah, that's okay, and the kind of the deeper cuts that they do for some of the Christmas lore is okay.
Yeah, but it's still very, like, it's basically the...
Tenuous.
It's the Marvel version of it, which is basically nothing. So, I would... Yeah,
two?
Two, yeah.
Two sounds good to me.
Two's good. All right, and then quality-wise, man... It's baffling to me that like Chris Columbus took over directing for this one. So he actually directed this one versus the first one. And the first one It's way better. What happened here?
Yeah, it is way better. We gave that one a 2 for quality, I believe. Is that right?
I believe so.
See, after I finished watching it today, I was like, it's definitely not as good. I was going to give it a 0, but the more we talk about it, and the more we have to talk about it, the more I find myself resenting its existence. So I think we got to go negative here.
There, at no point in this movie does Kurt Russell as Santa Claus slam dunk a present down a chimney like it's a basketball, and that is the fucking crime.
And here's the thing. I think I wouldn't be this harsh on this movie if the first half of the first movie wasn't unexpectedly as good as it was, because it's so much missed potential here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's a good character. It's a fun character. Like, it's a good Santa. And they waste it. They leave the whole, almost all of the Santa on the table.
Yeah, you could have put in any other fucking Santa from any other movie, and it wouldn't have been that much different.
No, they waste this character.
Yeah, you're right, Brad. This is functionally the Santa Claus 4. Because who cares?
So, I think wasting Kurt Russell and the fact that they have the awful elves even more, like, they're in the entire movie. There's not 10 minutes that goes by that we don't have to watch these awful elves and their awful antics, and I hate them, and I want to squish them all under my feet and tell them they're disgusting worms.
Mm-hmm. And plus, like, pretty much every character in the film, aside from maybe Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, are the worst. I just hate all these characters. I don't like.
They're very unlikable.
I just plain don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only point in its favor is that they knew that Teddy kind of sucks, so they got rid of him. So I want to give this negative points, but I feel bad about that.
Well, don't, because it deserves it. So at least a -1, I would say.
I want to say
probably a -2, because it was not particularly entertaining
the
either.
The sheer volume of wasted potential kind of crushes the entire film.
That's a very concise way of
putting
it.
I'm going to say a -2.
Yeah. John?
God, this movie is so fucking... It didn't need to be Christmas Chronicles Part 2. They wasted that. Didn't need to take place at Christmas. There was, like, with everything going on, there was, like, one or two, like, moments that were just, like, just sensible chuckle-worthy at best. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So what is it at right now? What's the score at right now?
-2, I think, right?
Do I want to go lower than that, the -2 on this axis?
If you want to, I have a point of order that I can bring up.
What's your point of order? Let's hear it.
Brad brought this up. Ricky Baker's his evil Santa sleigh is hauled by giant CGI jackals, and I have to wonder why.
They never explain it in the movie.
And it's
he calls them jackalodes. They are half jackal, half coyote.
Yes, that's it.
But why do they?
Again, why?
Why? Like, the concept of, like, dark reindeer evil enough?
Just, like, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't get it. Just give them red eyes.
Just go full crazy and make them robot reindeer, okay?
Yeah. I mean, he already has, like, a weird mechanical sled.
He's already, like, a...
Just strap a jet engine on the front and make it a pod racer. It would have been way cooler.
I saw this in a movie once. It's my favorite movie. Of course, Ricky Baker's favorite movie would be The Phantom Menace. Fuck you. He's the worst, and I hate him.
So is the point of order supposed to be supposed to give it negative points or positive points? Because I cannot decide.
Negative points, because it's just, like, inscrutable weirdness, I think.
I almost feel like inscrutable weirdness should be rewarded.
Okay, well, it's the wrong kind, then. I don't know. I just don't like it. It's the...
That's
the thing I keep coming back around to. I just plain don't like it.
Yeah, that's what is the quote. It's like, I don't know how to describe pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to describe a very mediocre Christmas movie, but I know it when I see it.
We've been trying for 6 years and change to describe mediocre Christmas movies, and I don't think we're any better at it. I don't know what that says about us.
Kind of our trade.
Kind of our, that's kind of our mission here.
-3.
Fuck it.
Yeah. I think.
-3.
Fuck it. -3.
It's bad. It's bad, folks.
Yeah. And
the last vestige of 2020.
And again, like we said so many times, as bad it is, the bigger sin is that it's not very interesting while it's being bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess I know this like broke Netflix records for whatever that's worth. Like
this one did too.
Yeah, like it I mean, of course a brand new Christmas movie comes out on Netflix. Of course everybody's going to watch it at the same time. We're still all trapped indoors and we can't do anything else.
Yeah. I know, but that means we're probably going to get a third one of these.
But my
and we're going to have to watch
my
it.
My only hope is that so it came out in like at the end of November, like Thanksgiving weekend last year. And my only hope is that you know, it being overshadowed by just the long drawn out election cycle that month, kind of like nobody gave it the time of day really. Cause like we're here in the end of January. Nobody's talking about this film now. Nobody remembers it. Nobody cares.
No, not at all.
And it was one in probably hundreds of movies that many people watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that span of time.
With how many things people were hoping that they could get a theater release in last year, and eventually they fucking gave up and made it streaming like Wonder Woman 84 and all that shit.
However, Wikipedia informs me that this film actually did have a limited theatrical release. And I could only assume it's...
For the Oscars.
Yeah.
No, for like are you kidding me? Like for what?
So, before the show, I was no kidding, trying to my best to Google, you know, Netflix Oscar campaign Christmas Chronicles 2, because that's got to be out there. Like a for your consideration page for Christmas Chronicles 2, please.
I can't even fathom what category they would think they're even qualified to get a nomination in.
Best
though.
Visual effects, like all the visual effects awards, all the sound effects awards. I don't know.
For your consideration okay. In every goddamn category.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
I'm dead inside.
+2, -3. That's where we're going to leave it. Christmas Chronicles 2.
Don't watch it. It's really bad.
You could spend your time doing so many other things that would be a better use of it.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah.
It broke us. I think this one broke us a little bit.
This one was a bummer.
At least Rhapsody Street Kids is like the fun kind of inscrutable. This is just depressing.
Yeah. Rhapsody Street Kids is just a fucking it's a train wreck.
It is very much the food fight of Christmas films.
Like, Rhapsody is a train wreck in like the fun way of like this is just a fucking mess. This is the train wreck in the bad way of just like that's a lot of dead people.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. It's just it's sad, wasted potential, wasted money, just blah. Like who cares? Ugh.
I'm gonna stroke the monkey's paw for just a second. I want to see more Kurt Russell Santa Claus, but not like this, please. I'm begging you.
Like I said, they left the whole Santa on the table.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a good Santa.
That's a pretty good Santa, but no.
Nope.
Nope, nope, nope.
We can't have nice things.
Okay, folks. So that's going to have to do it for Christmas Chronicles 2. Yeah, we'll find something good to watch at some point. We'll be back shortly. In February with another episode of Christmas Creeps for you people, you fine, lovely, wonderful listeners of ours. But until then, if you want to yell at us on the internet about anything, about Christmas movies you want us to cover, or just questions or comments, anything you want to yell at us about, we'll answer you. We'll talk to you on Twitter, @ChristmasCreeps, Facebook.com/ChristmasCreeps. You can email us anything at XmasCreeps@gmail.com. Go to all your favorite and preferred podcast listening devices and like and subscribe and tell a friend about the show. Leave comments and hey, I'm just rambling at this point. This is the end of show requisite ramble. So I'm done with that.
We really appreciate you listening.
We do. It's been a long, long year or so. And
good work, champ. you listener, good work, champ.
That's going to do it for Christmas Creeps, everybody. I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
I am Johnny Five, the human robot.
Night, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.